What if you said yes to the Holy Spirit today?
You were made for a life of wild adventure.
A spirit-filled, spirit-powered life.
But sometimes we feel hopeless, powerless to help, in an overwhelming world with so much need all around us.
We wonder if God can really use us. Aren't Christians called to live like Jesus, doing what we see the Father doing?
Isn't being a Christian about doing what Jesus did?
Isn't being a Christian about having the Holy Spirit in us, doing great things through us in powerful ways?
If those are the questions you're asking, you're in good company. We are a movement of people saying yes to God, welcoming the Holy Spirit to use us at any moment, in any place, no matter who we are or where we've come from.
And we have thousands of stories of ordinary people being used by an extraordinary God in the places we work, play, and live. Heal the sick, pray for the lonely, set captives free, have faith that moves mountains.
We get to do it all, every day, if we're willing to say yes to the Holy Spirit. God can use you at home, at work, at school, in the grocery store, riding a taxi, or talking to our neighbor.
Wherever we find ourselves, God is there, waiting for us to say yes, Holy Spirit. Yes to whatever you want to do through me.
And when we say yes, things change, and we change too. Say yes to the Holy Spirit changing you. Say yes to the Holy Spirit helping you to see others in need.
Say yes to the Holy Spirit using you in your family, your neighborhood, your place of study or work, your city, and around the world.
Life with the Spirit can be a wild ride. It can be a bigger adventure than we had planned for our lives, but it's worth it.
You can live an exciting life led by the Spirit.
You can be an empowered follower of Jesus who takes risks and has miraculous adventures with God. How much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?
Be changed. Be available. Be ready for what God will do.
Say yes to the Holy Spirit.
Hey, good morning, Trinity.
Ooh, that's alive.
And yeah, so welcome to Advent at Trinity Vineyard. And this is a great season. So there are celebrations all over. You can already start noticing that people are beginning to travel, you know. So last weekend you sat beside someone and this weekend they're not around. Because people are traveling, this is the season where a lot of that happens. And it's party after party and, you know, this is when most Kenyans take seriously the scripture that says, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will take care of itself. You know? So there is extravagant expenditure because 60 days of January will take care of themselves, you know? So that's the kind of season we're in. And Advent is a period. The word Advent itself means expectation. Could I turn this off? Are you guys okay? Is it too cold? Okay. So, I am cold. So, where was I? Okay. Okay, good. Advent is in itself means expectation. It's a season where we are anticipating the celebration of Christmas, the celebration of the birth of Jesus. But it is more than just celebrating the birth of Jesus. It is also anticipating the second coming of Jesus because he promised that he would come. It's one cliche that goes all, you know, through the season. Oh, remember the reason for the season. And you know what? It's actually right. It's easy to forget that this is about celebrating the coming of Jesus and anticipating his second coming. That is the reason for the season. And so I've been inviting us as a community to get into the space where we're aware that even as we go on holiday, even as things get busy, even as party happens after another, that God is still moving. What if God is still moving even as we are on holiday? What if God is still moving when we take a break as a church? But even better, what if God is inviting you to take part in something he is doing? What if right as you just go about, these are times when we get into traditions, because most Kenyan families that can will be slaughtering a goat or two, right? And then all family will be getting together. They're just traditions. People say, oh, every Christmas time our family does this. But what if in the randomness of the routine you guys get into, God is inviting you to be part of something beautiful? And the key statement I've been making is, what if we start seeing God everywhere and sometimes in church? Because it's not to say that God won't move in church, but it is to say that we become aware of the Holy Spirit, we become aware of the move of God, that we see him everywhere else, and Sunday morning becomes a celebration of everything that God has been doing. So that Sunday morning doesn't just become a fix. Oh, I need to go to church so that I enjoy the worship. Or I need to go to church so that they can pray for me. No, so that Sunday morning is just a celebration of everything that God has been doing through the week. And, you know, again, I'm just going to say this again just in case anyone forgets. And our church is going to go on break, which is really cool. But that doesn't mean God stops moving. Yet he's inviting you. You got to be aware. And so the other invitation has been that you see, I'm encouraging us as a community, and I think it's the invitation to the Church of Jesus, that the things of God are not set aside for just a set group of people, or the pastor, and the worship team, and the people on the prayer team. No, it's for every one of us. It's just for ordinary people. Ordinary people get to play. Ordinary people get invited to do extraordinary things. And so some of the stories we've been reading through this season have exactly been that. Ordinary people just living ordinary lives, and then because they were in touch with the Holy Spirit, they stepped into something extraordinary. And, you know, so this season of the first Christmas, everything was changing. History was about to turn on its head. For those of us who are believers, this is a very important moment. And even for those who don't yet believe, for those who are just, you know, debating this faith thing within their hearts, we know that Jesus is worth reckoning with. He changed history and civilization as we know it. So if anyone was aware that this was happening at that time, that was a big deal. And so, you know, we read the story of an old guy called Simeon who's just an old guy who was not going to the temple that morning, but he felt led that he should go to the temple. And this was not unusual for him. He used to go to the temple. This is where most of them would be. And then at the temple, there were babies being dedicated. This was not an unusual thing. This was very ordinary. Babies usually were dedicated at 8 days old. But this was different. An ordinary person in an ordinary time was in touch with the Holy Spirit and joined in an extraordinary thing. Last week, we joined in the story of a guy named Joseph, promised to marry Mary. And then long before their wedding, Mary is pregnant. And in an ordinary thing called a dream, he heard the invitation of the Holy Spirit to step into something beautiful. And guess what? Many of the men who might have laughed at him, we have no idea what their names were. Right? He might have looked like the fool of the town, but we have no idea what the names of those people are. But here's we know why he stepped into something extraordinary. You are being invited to be part of what God is doing. Can you hear it? Can you see it? Can you smell it? Can you feel it? And the reason I'm saying that is because we're called to be naturally supernatural. It's just everything that's happening around us. For everyone else, it's just normal, but for people who are in touch with the Holy Spirit, we can sometimes sense a very big invitation, and the question is whether we will say yes. So God is inviting people who are just doing normal jobs. But what if, because I've been saying, oh, you're just doing a normal job, but what if that job isn't the kind of job you want? It's not your normal job. It's just a meantime job. You're hoping to get the job. We've been talking about, well, God is inviting people to join him in what he is doing in their marriages, but what if your marriage is not functioning? It's broken. Or despite your desire, you're not married. What about the situations that we find ourselves in accidentally or by luck? Or so-called luck. What if? Could God still be doing something? Could God still be inviting us into something? Let's pray. Lord, we would love to step into everything you're inviting us into. And so much of life is sometimes surprising to all of us. We make plans and then we just find ourselves in places where we didn't think we would be. Yet, Father, even in those spaces, we would love to say yes. If you're moving, we want to move with you. So come, Holy Spirit, and do what only you can do. In Jesus' name. So again today, I'll take us back to just accidentally. He didn't plan to be there. You know, it was actually by sheer luck. They would cast lots. They would, when I grew up, we'd do this picky, picky, ponky, you know, that kind of thing. It wasn't given that he would be the one in that place on that day. They casted lots, but yet he met God in the place where it wasn't planned. And you see, I've been trying to contrast two different worldviews because I really believe that what we're being invited to is an opportunity to be aware that there's a totally different worldview. There's a totally different paradigm. There's a life that we can get into. And so when everybody else thinks, oh, he was just lucky to be there, well, there's a totally different paradigm that says, no, 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 God was moving and God wanted him there. So this is the kingdom of God. Anyway, so when the world thinks, oh, you're so lucky you got tickets right before the bus fares hiked. Well, what if God is actually moving in that and it's not just luck? You know, hundreds of people made an application for a job, but you got it. It's like, oh, well, you're just lucky. But in a different paradigm, the paradigm of the kingdom of God, we think, no, no, no. What if God intended that you be there in that organization for such a time as this? Well, you're just... It was accidental. Anyone could have been born at that time. Anyone could have, well, in the paradigm of the kingdom of God, the question is, what if God was quite intentional? And so open your eyes and see what he's inviting you to. So here is the story. Herod ruled Judea for the Roman Empire. Zacharias was serving as a priest in the temple in Jerusalem those days, as his father had before him. He was a member of the priestly division of Abijah, a grandson of Aaron, who innovated temple practices. And his wife, Elizabeth, was of the priestly lineage of Aaron, Moses' brother. They were good and just people in God's sight, walking with integrity in the Lord's ways and laws. Yet they had this sadness. Due to Elizabeth's infertility... Let's just stop there. It's funny that they had decided it was Elizabeth. Anyway, due to Elizabeth's infertility, they were childless, and at this time, they were both quite old. well past normal childbearing years. One day, Zacharias was given to perform his priestly duties in God's presence. According to the temple's normal schedule and routine, he had been selected from all the priests by customary procedure of casting lots for once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to enter the sacred precincts of the temple. There, he burned sweet incense, while outside a large crowd of people prayed. Suddenly, Zacharias realized he was not alone. A messenger of the Lord was there with him. The messenger stood to the right of the altar of incense. Zacharias was shocked and afraid, but the messenger reassured him. Zacharias, calm down. Don't be afraid. Zacharias, your prayers have been answered. Your wife is going to have a son, and you'll name him John. He will bring you great joy and happiness, and many will share your joy at the birth of John. So just a normal day, just normal priestly duties, nothing particularly special about this. In fact, nothing particularly special about him being there. It was decided by chance, one would think. They just cast lots. Well, let's see. It could have been anyone else. It could have been any other priest from the many priests that were there. But even for John, even for Zacharias, the father of his son, grew up to be John, the one who baptized Jesus. So he's quite a big player in this story. But even for Zacharias, the father of John, it had to be a realization. Because I realize it can be very easy to miss out on what God is doing. He had to go, oh, I think someone else is here. Because it could be any other day, could be any other rituals of the temple. But Zacharias became aware that, oh no, maybe something else is happening here. And because of that, because of being in step with the Holy Spirit, because of being aware of the Holy Spirit, he got an invitation and stepped into something very beautiful. So many were priests at his time, but we don't remember their names either. We don't. Because for those of us who are living in the kingdom of God, it isn't just chance. Or even that which looks like chance, there's always a question of, what if God is still moving right here, right now, and he's inviting me to step in? So even as we begin to travel and all these things are happening, what if you didn't get a flat tire just in a random place? You know, you're looking for a place to take a break with your family as you drive home, and there's only one open cafe, and you go in. What if it's not just random? What if even there God is inviting you to something? So one night I had a midnight flight, and so had to go to the airport early. And decide to chill at the Java there, because there isn't many places to wait. And because there's so many people flying late in the night, but you know, there isn't so many places to go, the Java was full. And there isn't much to do at the Kenya airport at night. So I'm almost just dragging my suitcase away, hoping someone is looking at me and they can feel guilty. Anyway. So there was a lady sitting at a table all by herself. I don't know why they do this. Anyway, so she invites me and says, hey, share my table. I'm like, are you sure? Are you serious? Because that doesn't happen normally. And then I hope my asking if she's sure doesn't make her realize she's not. And, So anyway, she says, no, yeah, please sit. And I sit, and I don't want to push it. So I just take out my very spiritual book. I was reading a theological book, so I take it out and God has provided and I'm not going to disturb her any further. So I just open my book and I'm reading. I'd rather be close to Jesus. I just felt, no, maybe you should have a conversation. So I closed my book and said, hey, how are you? Going home or going away? I ever had. So she had these frequent flyer privileges. So that's when I realized that there are people who fly and there are people who fly. So we went to the, what do they call them? When everybody else is lying on the floors of the airport, there is a lounge. Yes, that's the word. We went to the lounge and we're being treated really well. I'm like, whoa, this exists? But beyond that, we had such important conversations about Jesus, about the work we do, about what she does in Kenya, about she was going home to get married, and we just had such important conversations. I really have no idea what impact those conversations had, but all I know is that I probably stepped into something big. It was just any other time, you know, any other table at Java, any other person. I think she's a kind person, so she might have welcomed any other person to share her table. But what if God was moving? And I think he was, because we had such important conversations. What if it's not an accident? What if it's not luck? And this week we turn our focus to joy, you know? And I really believe the move of the Spirit of God breathes joy to everyone who's stepping into it, and then it spills over. The move of the Spirit of God breathes joy to everyone who's stepping into it, and then it spills over. And this is a big deal for me. Often I've realized that when the times I am aware that God is about to do something really big or just to move in a big way, it's always a feeling of joy. So oftentimes I would tell friends or teams, I have a sense that the worship is going to be amazing today. Oftentimes it's a feeling of joy. So this is a big deal for me. And so many times, if some of you have noticed, when I am hosting us, I will pray that God let your joy break through. Because there's a joy of the Holy Spirit that is unmatched, it's unspeakable, and it just spreads, it's infectious, you know? I find joy infectious. Joy breaks walls down. Joy moves people from unforgiveness to a place of forgiveness. Imagine just being with someone whom you're very angry with, and then you start laughing together. I mean, it would take such a hard heart to go back to the same place. Joy opens people up for healing and reconciliation. Joy is irresistible. Okay, so I want to tell one more story. So I was doing a worship leader training somewhere on the invitation of their lead pastor. And I could sense that there was a bit of resistance. Like, it was just so cold. The team was just so cold towards me. Partly because some of them had met me before and they didn't like me. Imagine someone not liking me. I'm surprised. And then the other part was just, who is this? You know, on whose authority do they think they have anything to share with us? And one of them said, well, we just felt a bit threatened. You know, what are you going to say? Are we not doing a good job? And all that. So they were just, it was tense. And so we started off just asking questions, and we're trying every icebreaker. And I'm throwing joke after joke, you know, just bits and bobs here and there. And their responses towards me clearly said, yes, we don't like you one bit. But I had a sense that the Holy Spirit was going to break through, and I was just waiting. So I'm doing everything I can to just not lose, you know, say something in kind or finish the session in 30 minutes. Great, guys. And then just joy broke through. Something happened, and we all started laughing. And now everybody's laughing, and now they cannot go back to being mean to me. You know? Because the Holy Spirit's got my back. No, the point is, joy, the joy of the Holy Spirit just breaks down walls. The joy of the Holy Spirit is infectious, because it started with one of them, And in like 10 minutes, they were all just in a place of joy, in a place ready to receive, in a place ready to hear what I have to say, and to even give back. Later that evening, because how I would do worship leader trainings is that we'd talk about the stuff, and then we'd sit down and do like a worship circle, do the stuff. You know, it's one thing to just hear things, let's actually just worship together. And the Spirit of God break through so powerfully, and some of these guys were speaking in tongues, some of these guys were singing prophetic songs. It was just so beautiful. As tired as I was, because I had been doing a lot of stuff the whole day, we went on for 2 more hours. Because once the joy of the Holy Spirit breaks through, all resistance falls off. You know, and I think some of us need that. I think some of us need that in our homes, that the joy of the Holy Spirit will just break in and bitterness will break off. And so I just speak that over you guys. Some of us need that the joy of the Holy Spirit break in, and finally we can see that maybe there's hope. Anyway, so Zechariah's and Elizabeth had been barren for years. And listen, so priests were kind of a big deal in this community. So think about it. So this is the pastor's wife. She should be respected, at least in that culture. Quite similar to our culture. And she should be respected, but she couldn't do the one thing that she was expected to do in that culture. The one thing she was supposed to do, she couldn't. And she felt the weight of it. She walked around knowing that everybody knows she's barren. Everybody knows her husband, everybody knows her, and everybody knows that they're barren. She had no face. She had no joy. But saying yes to the Holy Spirit brought a joy into their family that wasn't just contained in their family. It spilled over, because joy spills over. Because once your family is experiencing the joy of the Holy Spirit, your neighbors will know. We lived in a very small compound in Kiamunyi. And if you know, Kiamunyi used to be one of those places where everyone with money to build a mansion goes, and my family at that point couldn't do it, but it was so lovely to see all these kids with PlayStations and everything that could keep them busy, only wanting to spend time at our house. Because joy is infectious. It spills over. And I'm not saying that they didn't have joy in their houses. I wouldn't know. It's so infectious that Mary, the mother of Jesus, visited Elizabeth at this time. And guess what happened? Even the, like, oh, John is getting giddy in Elizabeth's womb. Why? Because the joy of the Holy Spirit is infectious. I want us to watch this video. So here are two kids. Here are two kids who've seen each other from different sides of the road, and they just run to each other, and the parents can't stop but be filled with joy. So this is the picture of John and Jesus in their mother's wombs. So the only difference is that they were in their wombs, and so the mothers were running towards each other, and John and Jesus just going, ah, something big is about to happen. And Elizabeth can feel that there's joy. And you know, it was such an ordinary thing. Listen, Mary probably visited Elizabeth because in this culture, much like many cultures in Africa, when one of your relatives is pregnant, one of the ladies, the younger ladies in the family, or the mother-in-law has to go help them. Isn't that what happens? You go and stay with a sister comes and helps you through this time. So this was probably the visit Mary was making. Just a normal thing, just an ordinary thing. Yet God was moving. And here was joy just exploding. And some Sunday mornings we've experienced that around here. Some Sunday mornings, you can just see that everyone is just giddy, right? And people are hugging each other right, and no one is leaving, and I'm thinking, oh boy, we need to close this gate. You know, we've run out of coffee. Just people are here, and they are enjoying the presence of God and being with each other. But what if we can step into that beyond Sunday morning? Even in spaces where you are in just by luck or just by accident. What if you step into those spaces and bring the joy of the Holy Spirit? I found myself, every time I'm hosting, I found myself praying as I cook and just going, God, I want your joy in this place. I hope the people who come in feel your presence. What if it looks like that? Just praying joy over places where it's just normal, it's tradition or accidental or even just luck. Why don't we stand? The other beautiful picture I want to leave us with is the joy some of the kids in this church have every Sunday morning. Today they were having a lot of joy chasing after a dog in the compound. I'm not sure that dog is happy about that. But during worship, I see this aisle just full of kids, and they are jumping. They're unleashed. And God wants to release that to some of you today. God wants to release joy to some of us who think that they haven't known joy for a very long time. That will go beyond something.